one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it.
Harper, the swing of his life.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. Coming up, well, the All-Star festivities in Philadelphia have wrapped up. What a couple of days it was at Citizens Bank Ballpark. You had the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. And the story coming out of All-Star Week is the Philadelphia fan base. We're going to get into everything that went down at the Home Run Derby on Monday, and then, of course, at the All-Star Game on Tuesday, and we'll get you set up for the second half of this Philly season that we are hoping finally will end up in a World Series championship. So lots to get to here on this edition of Hittin' Season. Just a quick reminder, folks, tell your friends and family members about the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. If they are looking for something to consume during the second half of the Philly season, and just tell them to come along for the ride. This is the best part of the season. This is the pennant race, and we've got a trade deadline coming up here in just a few weeks, and that's always a lot of fun. So this is the time to get on board. So if there's anyone you know in your circle that loves the Phillies and doesn't know about us, please tell them to follow the show. All right, let's get to it here. And we'll start off with the All-Star Game. We'll go in reverse order. Unfortunately, I think the All-Star Game didn't quite live up to the excitement of the Home Run Derby, which I think is becoming kind of a pattern with All-Star Week. But let's talk about the All-Star Game first, because this is the Midsummer Classic. This is the reason everyone was gathered at Citizens Bank Park, was to play this game. And of course, here in Philadelphia, first time being hosted in the city of brotherly love since 1996, on the 250th anniversary of the birthplace of the birth of America. The symbolism was oozing from the pores of the stadium throughout the course of these last couple of days. And in terms of the theatrics of everything, Major League Baseball really outdid itself. It had all of the pieces to make this truly a spectacle. And that's what it was during the course of these couple of days. They really pulled out all the stops. It was tremendous, really, the work that everybody did going into this, to the point where the game was kind of an afterthought almost. It was secondary to everything else that was happening on the field, especially on Tuesday at the All-Star Game. But let us talk about what we did see on the field. You had six Phillies players, none of them being Zach Wheeler, of course, participating in this All-Star Game, and all six Phillies got in the game, which of course they were going to. There was no way National League manager Dave Roberts was not going to make sure that every one of these players got onto the field for a significant amount of time. And he, I think, did a good job with doing that, with the exception of the last player we're going to talk about. But Christopher Sanchez got the start for the National League. And unfortunately for Sanchez, he had a rough inning of work here in his second All-Star game. It's particularly interesting because he has been so dominant at home. It's at Citizens Bank Park this year. It started off well as Sanchez struck out Mike Trout to begin the game. People were feeling pretty good, but then he got into a little bit of trouble. He gave up a single, then gave up a walk, got a ground out to him that he made a nice play, made a nice throw to first base, and Freddie Freeman did a great job holding on to the bag at first base. Looked like Sanchez was going to get out of the inning. There were runners on second and third with two out. But then Cody Bellinger rips a single up the middle to score two runs. And then Yankees first baseman Ben Rice follows with another RBI single to make it 3-0. And Christopher Sanchez labors through a 34-pitch inning, giving up three runs, three hits, two walks and two strikeouts, allowed five base runners in his one inning of work, and in total faced eight batters. So at least he got his screen time. You know, he got his time on the field, and unfortunately took the loss here, because really almost all of the offense took place in this first inning with Christopher Sanchez on the mound in the National League's the American League's 4-0 win over the National League in this All-Star game. Three of those runs coming off of Christopher Sanchez in the first inning. Really just struggled with his command. He couldn't find the strike zone. His changeup was not able to locate it. And American League hitters, particularly these two Yankee hitters, Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice, teed off on him a little bit. He threw 34 pitches, as I mentioned, to get through the first inning of the All-Star game. As Matt Gelb noted, that's more than he'd thrown in any inning this season. and it is tied for the most he's thrown in any inning of his career. So he really labored in this single inning. And then Paul Casella noted that Christopher Sanchez has made 43 regular season starts at Citizens Bank Park since 2024. And he allowed three or more runs just six times. Just six times in 43 regular season starts has he allowed more than three runs. Has he allowed three or more runs at Citizens Bank Park? He allowed three in the first inning of the All-Star game on Tuesday night. So, again, it doesn't really matter. This is not. This is just an exhibition game, and I think everybody walks out of there feeling good about Christopher Sanchez. Christopher Sanchez has pitched tremendously on the big stage. We've seen him shove in playoff games, so the world already knows how good Christopher Sanchez is, but he did have a rough first inning. Maybe some nerves? Maybe some nerves. It's different than a playoff game. So maybe some nerves from Christopher Sanchez in that first inning, but overall, it's unfortunate, but you don't walk away feeling anything different from Sanchez after that first inning. But unfortunate that he took the loss and gave up the three runs in the first inning. Kyle Schwarber, subbing for an injured Shohei Ohtani, led off the game at DH. As we were coming into this game, Ohtani was a late decision from him that he would not participate. He has a inflammation or irritation in his knee, and so decided not to participate at all in the All-Star game. So Kyle Schwarber gets the start at DH, leading off for the National League team. And he led off against Blue Jays starter Dylan Cease. Schwarber went 0-for-2, struck out in his first at-bat, and did not manage a hit in this game. He was eventually pinch hit for with Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper pinch hit for Schwarber, took over the DH spot, and Harper struck out in his only plate appearance on a nasty curveball. Harper was mic'd up at the time when he came to the plate for that at-bat and apologized to the broadcast crew for striking out and not getting on base to continue the conversation. It's like, oh, that was nasty. So Harper strikes out. Brandon Marsh got the start in right field. Marsh went 0-for-2 with two strikeouts, but it was fun seeing him out in right field. All told, the three Phillies hitters got five at-bats in this game and struck out four times. So not great. It's just the way it was, but they were not alone, which I'll get to in just a minute. Bob Vitrone of the Philadelphia Inquirer noted that the Phillies all-time batting in five All-Star games played in Philadelphia, there have been 16 at-bats by Phillies players in games played in Philadelphia. They are a combined 1-for-16 with an .063 batting average. Dave Cash had a single in the 1976 game. Now, of course, in 1996, the Phillies did not have any hitters in that game, as Ricky Pitalico was the only member of the Phillies to play in that game at Veterans Stadium. So it's been a minute since the Phillies have had hitters participating in an All-Star game played in Philadelphia. But the last two Phillies pitchers to get into this game did pretty well. Jesus Luzardo was brilliant in a 1-2-3 fourth inning, got a strikeout in his inning of work, and then Joan Duran got the last two outs for the National League. He did give up a hit. The National League, of course, down 4-0 at this point, but they did get Duran into the game. Dave Roberts did not use him at the beginning of the inning, which kind of fouled up, I think, the Durantula entrance that everyone was looking forward to. We all kind of wanted to see what that would look like here on the national stage, for the rest of the country to see what it would look like on the national stage, and they messed it up. They screwed it up. And the reporting is Fox Audio. Fox News, Fox Sports was in charge of of putting the entrance together, timing it all out and everything, and they screwed it up. The audio didn't fire correctly when Duran's entrance started, when he started jogging in from the bullpen. And so he's halfway to the mound, and the stadium is quiet before you finally hear the bell ring and his music begin to play. So they totally messed that up. They totally screwed that up. That's on Fox. Fox, because the Citizens Bank Park crew knows what they're doing. But that was the Fox. Those are the Fox folks that screwed that up. And so that was the one thing really here in the All-Star game that misfired was the Joan Duran entrance music. And that should not have been the case. They should have had that ready to go. But maybe bringing him in the middle of the inning, maybe Fox Sports just wasn't quite ready for it. At the end of the day, again, not a huge deal. Not a massive thing, but a disappointment, I'm sure, for the fans who were there, who frankly did not see a very good game. All in all, the National League had just three hits as a team. Just three hits for the National League side. They struck out 15 times and walked twice in this game. The record for strikeouts in a 9-inning All-Star game is 16. So they fell just one, they were one strikeout short of tying the all-time mark for most strikeouts by an All-Star team in a 9-inning All-Star game. Cody Bellinger was named MVP for his two-run single in the first inning. And when that is enough to garner you the MVP of the game, you could tell not a lot happened in this game. There really just was a lot of pitching, not much hitting in this game outside of the first inning outburst by the American League off of Christopher Sanchez. It was, I'll be honest, it's kind of a boring game. Kind of a boring game. It was just cool to see the All-Star game at in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park, but it was a lot like the 96 game. It was 6-0. The National League won that one when Dodgers star Mike Piazza dominated the game, but at least he hit a home run there. It was a clear MVP in that game. And there wasn't any one star that shone in this one. The game itself will be forgotten for sure. But the atmosphere was electric. It was something else. It crackled from the beginning. There were huge cheers for the Phillies players as they came onto the field. It was interesting. And I think it was a little weird where the players came in through a tunnel and then ran to home plate. And then with a feather pen on, like it wasn't a real piece of parchment, but a piece of paper made to look like parchment, had them sign their names to a lineup card with a feather pen. I think they were trying to reenact the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I guess, because it was the 250th anniversary of the country and because it was happening in Philadelphia. I just thought it was a little odd, a little contrived, but okay, not a big deal. Again, these little things, everybody is going to have a different opinion on. Not everyone has to agree that they were good ideas or bad ideas. I didn't love it, but it was okay. When all the rest of the Phillies were introduced along the first baseline, that was a fun moment just to hear the crowd booing everyone else and cheering for the Phillies fan, for the Phillies players on the field. I mean, most of the times when you have like a game like this, it's not a partisan crowd. There, it's a wider audience, but this stadium was packed with Phillies fans. It was not people from all over the country coming to Citizens Bank Park to watch the All-Star game. It felt like a Phillies playoff game, and they only wanted to see their players do well. And they wanted to let everyone else know they stink and we don't like you. And it was a lot of fun. It gave the game atmosphere. Mike Trout did get a big ovation, as did any Philly area native. Detroit Tigers' Kevin McGonigal got a big hand from the crowd. You did have, at the beginning of the game, Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton throw out the ceremonial first pitches to Scott Rolen and Cole Hamels. Schmidt had to throw his underhand because he was telling folks before and after the game he can't lift his arm above his head anymore. He can't throw overhand. Steve Carlton did get his overhand. I know he's had issues with that. Of course, Steve Carlton pitched 2 million innings in his career, throwing as hard as he can and throwing a slider that I'm sure damaged tendons and things happening in his shoulder, but he threw overhand. Schmidt threw underhand. Okay, who cares? No big deal. But it was interesting that Scott Rolen and Cole Hamels were on the receiving end of those pitches. Cole Hamels, not so much. The decision for Scott Rolen to be part of this ceremony was an interesting one, because when you think of all-time great Phillies, yes, Scott Rolen did start his career in Philadelphia, but I think he's most closely associated with the St. Louis Cardinals. He is not somebody that you think of as a true and true Philly, the way he talked his way out of town. And we've all forgiven Scott Rolen for that, mostly, I think. And we all realize that if Scott Rolen got a big contract, they probably don't go out and sign Jim Thome. And this era of Phillies baseball probably doesn't start the same way. That all the butterfly effect things are in place. But it was interesting that you don't ask Ryan Howard to do it, or Chase Utley to do it, or Jimmy Rollins to do it. But maybe this was a way for the Phillies to pay homage to, have another Hall of Famer on the field. Scott Rolen, of course, is in the Hall of Fame, and he did start his career in Philadelphia, had a couple of his best seasons in Philadelphia. So Scott Rolen and Cole Hamels take part in the ceremonial first pitch with Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton. And Schmidt did say after the game, this will be hit the last time he ever throws the first pitch, unless the Phillies make it back to the World Series, and then he would be talked into doing it again. The other big moment was the Sandlot moment. That was a huge moment in this game, where they're firing off the fireworks to reenact that scene on the 4th of July in the Sandlot where the kids go play night baseball down at the Sandlot. They're all riding their bikes over there, weaving their way through the neighborhood to get there, and they're playing baseball underneath the lights of the fireworks. And they reenacted that with the actors from the movie riding their bikes onto the Citizens Bank Park field. That was a cool moment. That was a lot of fun. I imagine that was really great to see in person. Citizens Bank Park did a tremendous job with that, and hats off to everybody involved in the Sandlot moment. That was really, really cool. Justin Clue was at Citizens Bank Park on Tuesday night covering the game for Baseball Prospectus, and I wanted to share his thoughts on what we saw from the All-Star game.
There have been several All-Star games in Philadelphia, and this was another one. I'll be honest, it was a pretty big dud of a game. You know, at the core of the All-Star experience is just a baseball game, and some baseball games are better than other baseball games, and some All-Star games are better than other All-Star games. There are a lot of All-Star games that are probably better than this All-Star game was. The National League really didn't show up, the Phillies themselves didn't really give you a whole lot to cheer about, and in general, things just kind of moved along after that first inning disaster. But if you were out at the park, you saw they had Citizens Bank Park in great shape. You know, there were a few bulbs out on the Citizens Bank Park sign last week. Those had all been replaced. You know, the grass looked great. They had a bunch of skydivers come in. Christopher Sanchez's shoes were sparkling like ruby slippers as the game started getting underway. I saw tens of thousands of people launch themselves from their seats for the Fanatics intro during the mascot intros, and a hearty booing of Mr. and Mrs. Met, which was obviously deeply appropriate. Player intros were also a big highlight of the night. You learned exactly who we hate and who we love just by listening to the crowd reactions as the players were introduced. I really liked the pen and quill they had for guys to pop out of the dugout when they were called and sign, you know, like it's the Declaration of Independence. That was really cool. I think after that long first inning, they might have given the players a note to swing away and swing often, because the rest of the game, after Christopher Sanchez is pretty much gave away the store in the first inning, the rest of the game kind of cruised with everybody just hacking away and hacking away, and outs were just coming quick. At one point, John Schneider made a pitching change for the American League and then sprinted off the field like a triceratops. I think you saw a game that kind of wanted to get itself over with after kind of a rough beginning. And to that point, yeah, I would say the crowd never went fully on board, like never got totally juiced for the game, for the simple fact that the Phillies never really gave you a reason to get excited. You know, Kyle Schwarber didn't hit a home run. Bryce Harper had one at bat and, you know, didn't really go great. Brandon Marsh struck out. He had an 0-for. Obviously, Christopher Sanchez didn't have a great first inning. I got to say, Jesus Luzardo did great in his inning. Very efficient, very quick. You know, that was at the point where the batters were swinging at anything and everything, it felt like. But still, Jesus got through his inning. No issues. That was cool. And then you reached the part of the game where you looked around and you thought, oh, okay. Well, the National League certainly didn't really bring their best and brightest bats. So what are we looking forward to here as Phillies fans? And, you know, everybody was out of the game except for Joan Duran. And you're thinking, all right, well, at least we get his entrance and that'll be cool. And I'm pretty sure they screwed up the musical cue. I'm pretty sure the visuals, the fire and the tarantulas and everything, that all happened. And the music didn't really kick on until he was like halfway to the mound and the lights were like coming back on. So you didn't even actually get to enjoy that or show that off for all these people who were in town. Speaking of which, representation-wise, there were a lot of White Sox fans. I saw a lot of Angels jerseys. There was a Rangers contingent that was going nuts for their guy when he struck out Luis Arraez in the 8th. There was a lot of noise for the local kid, Kevin McGonigal of the Tigers, and Miguel Vargas's fan section really lit up when he homered. That was cool. You saw Phillies fans celebrating with these people. That was something I noticed too. Anytime, you know, one of these guys did something and their little fan group, wherever they were in the park, started going nuts, you would occasionally see some Phillies fans, you know, kind of joining in, like pointing at them, celebrating them, like just kind of joining in, partially because the Phillies players themselves hadn't really given you much to dance around about, but also because that's what you're there for. You know, it's a fun carnival of baseball delights, I called it earlier this week in an article on Baseball Prospectus. And as far as that goes, it was a great time. You know, it was a great showcase for Philadelphia, even if it wasn't a great showcase for the Phillies themselves. Just a few more thoughts. The Phillies think the bit with the dancing Minutemen and the Fanatic when they come out on the field and they dance to jump around, they think that is hilarious. I have seen them do that multiple times now, and I gotta tell you, I don't think it ever gets the big reaction they're going for. But they trotted that out again, and that was like, okay. There was a real awkward moment when they tried to get everybody to sing Happy Birthday to America. So that was less than invigorating, I guess you'd say. All in all, a really fun time, though. I don't want to sound like, I'm poo-pooing the first All-Star game in Philadelphia in 30 years, considering, you know, it'll be another 50 to 100 years before they have it in Philadelphia again. And we all know the likelihood of them not having baseball at all next year anyway. So it was a great time. I think everybody really, you know, I didn't see any, like, huge sweeping complaints, except for one that I'm going to get to in a second. Obviously, the Home Run Derby was a ton of fun. Really wish that had gone another way. And when you woke up this morning before the game, you did kind of wake up with this feeling of like, oh, man, the Phillies lost a playoff game yesterday. It was that, like, that same kind of bummer, that, like, nationally televised bummer that that you went through with the Phillies the day before. Then you remind yourself it was just a home run hitting contest, and Kyle Schwarber did quite well. So, you know, nothing to be upset about. Feel free to boo Jordan Walker, which everybody did when he was introduced, and that was the point I wanted to circle back to. A note on booing. You may not like it if you're a frightened out-of-towner with the nervous system of a feral cat, but the players who were booed at the All-Star game loved it. They were laughing. They would come out, they'd, like, you know, wave, like, yo, give me some more. Dave Roberts was laughing so hard he came jogging out during the manager introductions, and he was getting booed. You know, usually the booing is, you know, maybe a little more targeted, maybe a little more malicious. Maybe, you know, you're trying to create the noise that the opposing team has to drown out and make their job harder, you know. But in this case, this particular case, the booing was just part of the fabric of what Philadelphia is and the experience at Citizens Bank Park and who we are as fans. And, you know, it's silly, but it's also very funny. And the players all understood that it was all in good fun. And that, you know, if you were wearing a Mets or a Braves uniform or a Dodgers uniform or even a Marlins uniform or a Nationals uniform, or if you were Blooper, the Braves mascot, you were going to get booed, you know, heartily, lustily. And one of the better moments, I thought, it was subtle, but one of the better moments of the night was during the player introductions. They're going down the line. There were a couple of guys in a row who were really getting booed. Then they got to, like, Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubs, and people were like, ah, we don't really have a beef with him. So he got some generous applause, and that was nice. And then they went back to booing a few guys, and then finally the camera panned over to Bryce Harper, and you just saw, like, the switch just happen. Everyone, the booing stopped, obviously, immediately. Huge cheer, everybody clapping and screaming, and you just saw his face light up too, like he knew what was going to happen. You know, obviously he's Bryce Harper and we're in Philadelphia, but you could see he was just like, yes, I'm going to bask in this, my people. It's cool. And that's what the All-Star Game's good for. It's great for moments like that. So it's also great because, last thing, a lot of Mets fans left early. You saw them heading for the exits, you know, 7th, 8th inning, which was also funny because, you know, they're kind of used to that.
Yeah, it is funny. The Mets fans, they that's all they ever do. They don't have, it's a reflex that they're going to leave early because they're not going to stick around to see a win. And New York fans are impatient. They probably also didn't want to have conversations with Philly fans as they were leaving the ballpark. So, you know what? Kind of a smart move, I think, by the Mets fans to get out of Dodge before it could get a little bit dicey as folks are leaving the ballpark. All right, so that was the Midsummer Classic. That's the All-Star Game. But now, the real jewel of the week, of course, was the Home Run Derby. What a scene on Monday night at Citizens Bank Park for the Home Run Derby. Barry Bonds called it the best home run derby of all time. And all anyone was talking about after the derby were two things. Jordan Walker's incredible comeback against Kyle Schwarber in the finale, and Philly fans booing everything that wasn't nailed down that didn't have the Phillies script on it. It was awesome. What an atmosphere Philly fans created at Citizens Bank Park. If you were there, my hat is off to you for creating an atmosphere at the Home Run Derby that created intensity, it created drama, it created urgency. It made it feel like a major event. You didn't make it seem like it was some meaningless exhibition. You gave this event weight, and it was awesome. And even the players, Wilson Contreras, Jordan Walker, all these guys who were getting mercilessly booed by Philly fans, took their hats off to the crowd, understanding that the crowd was merely trying to support their players, Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber, that it wasn't personal. Nobody hates Wilson. Most Philly fans have no idea who Wilson Contreras is. There's no animosity against any of these players. It was, we don't want you to win. We want our guys to win, and we're going to make it as difficult for you to win as humanly possible. The moment Major League Baseball put two Phillies players in the Home Run Derby, this should have been the expectation. And if anyone was expecting anything differently, you were fooling yourself. This was an amazing night. And what made it amazing was you. Phillies fans made this one of the most memorable home run derbies, one of the most memorable evenings in recent baseball history. And it certainly will go down as one of the most memorable moments of the 2026 Major League Baseball season. The atmosphere was electric, and the Jordan Walker comeback was unreal. It looked like Kyle Schwarber had this thing in the bag. With three swings left, Jordan Walker only had seven home runs to Kyle Schwarber's 12, I believe it was, or to Kyle Schwarber's 11. And he needed to go on a rampage at the end to overtake Kyle Schwarber. He hit six consecutive home runs on six consecutive swings. He ran out of swings about midway through, but on the final swing, you get to keep swinging as long as you don't make an out. And on that final swing, he hit three consecutive home runs to overtake Kyle Schwarber and win the Home Run Derby. You just have to take your hat off to the guy for buckling down and going on that little rampage there at the end and stealing the Home Run Derby championship away from baseball's best slugger. It was such a cool moment that he was fighting through the boos to do that. You can't do anything other than pay your respect to Jordan Walker. And this is a kid who has disappointed at the beginning of his major league career. One of the most highly touted prospects in baseball. St. Louis's best prospect for a number of years. He came up with a lot of fanfare and really struggled his first three seasons in the majors. But here he is in 2026, finally breaking out. And he's still young, just 24 years old. But finally breaking out, having a career year so far. And what he did with his parents in the stands. I mean, you've seen the video probably on social media where his mom and dad are in the stands. They're going crazy as he's making this comeback. And to everybody who is ragging on Phillies fans, if there are any of you out there who are upset about the booing, the Phillies fans around his mom and dad are cheering. They're reluctantly cheering, but congratulating them. Everybody's having a good time. The parents are having a good time. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody understands what it was. And it was just a really, really cool finish to the Home Run Derby. I love the way the players entered the arena. I'm going to say the arena because they entered like it was a pro wrestling match. And the pop for Bryce Harper, they created a makeshift wrestling ring on the field. And when Harper hit the ring and went on the ropes to pump up the crowd, that was amazing. It's so great to see Bryce Harper when he's like that. It's so cool. It pumps everybody up. Wish we could see more of that. And if we saw it all the time, it would lose its effectiveness. But it was really cool to see Bryce Harper doing that. Harper had a good derby, but couldn't quite make it out of the first round. But he did hit a ball over the batter's eye in center field onto Ashburn Alley. Credit where it's due. You know, Harper was pretty good, but not good enough to make it past the final four. And then for Kyle Schwarber to make it to the finals, it looked like he was well on his way to winning that thing. But that was who won the Derby is not being talked about nearly as much as the crowd. And I think it is a sign of respect. And it's all part of the theatrics. The Philly crowd helped make that event special on Monday night. And I think the players understood what was going on. Now, the crowd did boo the kids in the outfield when they dropped fly balls. And that's okay. You know what? If you're like a high schooler out there in center field, to be booed by 45,000 Citizens Bank Park fans, you're going to be telling your kids and your grandkids when you're older about the time you were at Citizens Bank Park, you were on the field for the All-Star game, and you got booed by the Philly faithful. That's a good story. You're going to have a great story to tell later in life. And so I think that's fine. I got no problem with that. The crowd was ramped up to an 11. It does make you wonder, how on earth does this team ever lose a home playoff game? When the crowd is that much behind you, when they make it that difficult for the opposition. Now, I know it's a different scene entirely because the stakes in a playoff game are much higher. Philly fans, Citizens Bank Park fans, over the last few years have grown more anxious, really, than anything else. So at the beginning in 22 and 23, there was no reason for Philly fans to be anxious. We just expected the team to go in there and win. And it wasn't until game six, game seven of the NLCS that the angst started to overtake the excitement. And now we're kind of there from 24 and 25, where these home playoff games are maybe not necessarily the best thing for the Phillies. But Philly fans, we just got to get back to doing what we did on Monday night at the Home Run Derby, just making life miserable for the opponents and pumping up the Phillies players themselves in order to give them the best chance to win. The new format worked too. I always liked the timed rounds. I thought that was really good drama, but this was also good because you had a limited number of swings. When you used to have the Home Run Derby and they used to do it with swings and outs, as long as you didn't make an out, you could keep swinging. But now, even if you hit a home run, it counts as a swing. So you only get 20 swings in the first round, and you get to keep swinging on your last swing if you keep hitting home runs. But before, home runs didn't count as outs, obviously. They didn't count against your swing total, and those rounds would go on forever. And that's what I was worried was going to happen here, but it didn't turn out to be the case. This format worked really well. It gave the players more of a chance to breathe in between home runs and, you know, prevent them from getting quite so tired. So it was a good format, a good tweak, and this really was one of the best home run derbies of all time. So all in all, these two events on Monday night and Tuesday night, the story from All-Star Week in Philadelphia was you, the fans. It was everyone who attended the Derby, everyone who attended the All-Star Game. You created an event that is ordinarily a good event, but it doesn't have the intensity that the event this week had in Philadelphia. And that's the thing about us. We are intense people. And we take our sports seriously. Even in an exhibition like this, when it doesn't really matter, we wrap ourselves up in these players. We wrap ourselves up in the uniform, in the laundry. We want anyone and anything representing the city to do well, to win, to be recognized as the best, to validate. We really do get validation ourselves from these players doing well. Now, you could say that's right or wrong. It just is what it is. And so when you have an event like this in Philadelphia, and again, the first time in 30 years, All-Star festivities took place in Philadelphia, and you had this many Phillies players participating, it created an environment that I think every other fan base and every other city should want to aspire to. And I think it's something that the commissioner, Rob Manfred, would desperately hope every other fan base would try to replicate. But not everybody can bring it like Philadelphia sports fans. And only the uneducated, only the ill-informed looked at what happened with the booing at the Home Run Derby and the booing at the All-Star Game as a negative. This was an event. This was a moment. This was something that Philly fans who were there and really the entire national audience will remember. And it was because of you and your participation in it. So my hat is off to everyone who was there for the Home Run Derby and everyone who was there for the All-Star Game who made these events memorable. You did Philadelphia sports proud. A lot of people say a lot of nonsense about Philadelphia sports fans. You did Philadelphia sports. You did the city proud. It was an amazing event. Great job, everybody. All right, let's set up the second half of this Philly season. And Justin and Liz are going to do more of this. They'll share their All-Star Game thoughts as well. But they're going to really take a look at the second half of the season here for these Phillies as they try to hunt down the Braves in the National League East. The Phillies will enter the second half just two games behind Atlanta in the NL East. The Marlins are four games back, and those Nationals are still hanging around as well. If the Nationals can figure out a way to get some pitching, look out, because the offense has not slowed down for Washington at all this year. But the Phillies, with a negative run differential, are 11 games over 500, and they do start the second half with a gauntlet of tough teams. But they also start with a nice long homestand. They finished the first half on the road. They played 16 of their final 20 games in the first half, all away from Citizens Bank Park. They had four in Washington. And remember, that Washington series was the one with all of those ninth inning comebacks. You had three in New York against the Mets. Then you came home for four games against the Pirates. And then it was three in Kansas City, three in Cincinnati, three in Detroit. I may have reversed Kansas City and Cincinnati. I don't remember. Don't hold me to that. So they're going to start the second half with a nice long nine game homestand. They get three against the Mets, including they're the only game on the Major League schedule on Thursday night. So it's a weird weekend schedule with the Mets. They're going to play on Thursday night on national TV. They're off on Friday, and then they'll play on Saturday and Sunday. This is the third time the Phillies have had something like this, where they don't play on a Friday. Very unusual. But they start off with a nice soft landing, what we hope is a soft landing, against the Mets at home. And then they get three against the LA Dodgers, and then three against the New York Yankees. That is going to be a fun week of baseball next week. The Phillies do have the fourth most difficult strength of schedule remaining. Their remaining opponents have a 5.14 winning percentage. I looked and saw the Atlanta Braves have the 12th hardest schedule, so a little bit harder of a schedule for the Phillies, but I think after this week against the Dodgers and Mets, it all kind of evens out. So the Phillies do have a little bit of a tough test here against the Dodgers and the Yankees next week, but that's good. That's good. Let's start off that way. Let's start off with a tough test. And over these next couple of weeks, of course, the trade deadline is on August 3rd. The Phillies need to be, that's going to be a big driver of the conversation here over the next couple of weeks. What are the Phillies going to do in terms of supplementing this roster? Will they go out and get left-handed relief help? Will they go out and find a right-handed hitting outfielder? Will they go out and get starting pitching depth? I don't know how they're going to get all of those needs met. I don't anticipate a big addition. And I think it's because we don't have anyone to trade. I don't think they're going to trade Andrew Painter. I don't think they're going to trade Gage Wood. I just don't. I don't think they're going to trade either one of those guys. But there's not much else in the cupboard. If you want an impact guy, if you want Aroldis Chapman, one of those two guys is leaving Philadelphia. I personally am okay with trading any prospect that we have. I value none of them. I hold none of them close to my heart. If the Phillies decide any one of them can help this 2026 team win, do it. Because you are seeing career years from seven players right now. And you have got to take advantage of this. You have got to supplement this roster so that these career seasons from the six All-Stars and Zach Wheeler don't go to waste. But that is going to be the big conversation over these next few weeks. And we're going to spend a lot of time on this podcast analyzing who they could go get, reacting to who they get, how they're going to help the team. We'll talk to folks about the prospects who could be leaving in trades. We're going to do all that over these next few weeks as we unpack the trade deadline and hope to see this Phillies team continue to play well as they did to finish off the first half, winning those final two series on the road, especially that last game on Sunday against Tarik Skubal. That was a really encouraging performance by the Phillies, and we will see if they're able to continue the momentum here in the second half. Corey Seidman of PHLY Philly said that he assumes the Phillies will come out of the All-Star break with Aaron Nola starting on Thursday. Aaron Nola in a nationally televised game. I'm not wild about that idea, but I get it. Zach Wheeler will probably start on Saturday, and then you will likely have Jesus Luzardo and Christopher Sanchez starting on normal rest Sunday and Sunday and Monday. Sanchez has been pitching a lot this year, pitched that laborious first inning in the All-Star game. It would be good to give him a little extra rest, as much time off as possible before he makes his first start of the second half. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season, your all-star edition of Hittin' Season. I hope you all enjoyed the festivities with the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. Didn't go the way we wanted on either evening, but a ton of drama and a lot of fun was had at Citizens Bank Park, and the Phillies and Philly fans did a tremendous job making this an event to remember. Please, again, folks, tell your friends about the Hittin' Season podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.